Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. Welcome you all out, especially any that might be visiting with us. I'd invite you to follow along in your Bibles, and we'll begin in Genesis chapter 1 in a moment. In the lesson this morning, we'll be looking at the subject of time. This time of year, a lot of us think about time a little more than normal. The first few times that you write the date and have to put the new year, in this case 2020, it takes some extra thought. And I know personally, I look back and I think, wow, where did that last year go? In the lesson this morning, I want to take us through some scriptures to remind us what God has said about time through His Word. And to be very clear, managing time well is personally not one of my strengths. This is one of my big weaknesses. So I don't present these verses as someone who claims to have mastered them, but as one who needs to hear them personally and practice them better. So then, to begin, what is time exactly? A very simple definition would be the progression of events from past to present to future. We measure and observe the passage of time in seconds, minutes, and hours, days, months, and years. Now, as I said, this is a very simple definition of time, and if you go looking, you can find all kinds of different thoughts and theories, human wisdom, and ideas about time. Different sciences define it differently and have varying ideas about its characteristics. But again, today we'll look at what God has revealed, and we'll see that He has given us all we need to make sense of a potentially challenging concept. He has let us know that time is, number one, created, and number two, finite. In Genesis chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Here is recorded the beginning of time, the first day. In Jude, verse 25, God is described as being before all time. Jude, verse 25, says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever. Amen." God is described as being before all time, and now, and forever. But not only was time created, it is finite. That is, it had a beginning, and it will have an end. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18 says, "For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." God's visible creation, including time, is transient. That is, it is temporary and will end at some point. Besides being created and finite, a third characteristic of time that we should understand is that it is God-given. Paul told the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 that God had allotted periods for man. Acts 17, verses 26 and 27. "And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from each one of us." God has allotted periods, that is, spans of time, in which man should live. This passage also indicates God's desire for what mankind should do with those allotted days, and that is, seek God. As we continue through the lesson, let's keep this question in mind. What am I, what should I be doing with the time God has given me? How am I managing my time? Not only has God allotted the time for mankind, he knows the span of days for each of us. You see this in Psalm 139. The 139th Psalm in verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Throughout the Bible, this idea that our time is limited is repeated because it's something that's easy for us to lose sight of, but it is essential for us to manage our time as God would have us to. In Psalm 39, the writers ask God to let him know how fleeting his life is. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And from our scripture reading in Psalm 90 in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And then going down to verse 9, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. The writer says, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. With that wisdom, we will use our limited time in his service. As the writer says in verse 17, letting him establish the work of our hands. Let the favor of our Lord, of the Lord our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the idea repeated in James chapter 4. James 4, beginning in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. As we manage our time, aware that our life is limited, our days are numbered, like those in James, we often make plans for the future. And it's good to make plans, to look ahead, so that we can make preparations as needed. Jesus used this example in Luke chapter 14, discussing one building a tower. Luke 14, beginning in verse 28, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. But as we plan, we must be aware that God is ultimately in control. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We should have the attitude that David has in Psalm 31. Psalm 31, beginning in verse 14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Even the apostles had to learn this lesson from Jesus in Acts chapter 1 before he ascended. Acts 1, verses 6 and 7. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So far we've seen that time is created. It is finite and God-given. Each of us only have a limited number of days to live this temporary physical life. And though we can and should make plans for the future, we need to recognize that ultimately God is in control. What then should we do with the time God has given us? How should we manage our time? Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 to make best use of their time. Ephesians 5, we'll begin in verse 15. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In Colossians chapter 4, the Colossians were also instructed to make best use of their time. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We can make best use of our time, redeem the time, by doing what God has created us to do. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 2 that we were created for good works, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This echoes the conclusions of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're told to honor the Lord with our first fruits. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. This is very much a time-oriented command. The first fruits are the first things that you reap from the harvest, the first profit you make. And in that case, it goes on in verse 10. It says, Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. We can make best use of our time by seeking God and his righteousness first, rather than the needs of this temporary life, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in a discussion of giving, Paul told the Corinthians that through God, at all times, they were able to abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's read verses 8 and 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we see the various seasons of this physical life listed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Whatever time we find ourselves in, it is a season to make best use of, and a time to abound in every good work. Each of these seasons and times provides us with different opportunities to do good, as Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This passage brings out another point about managing our time, and that is that we need to be consistent and not give up on doing the things God wants us to do. Let's read verses 8 and 9 again. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The picture here is of sowing, planting a seed which grows over time until the crop can finally be harvested. If we grow weary of doing good, we can end up like those described in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The statement in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, shows us that one thing God expects us to achieve with the time he has given us is positive change. The Greek philosopher Heraclitus is attributed with the saying, change is the only constant in life. And I believe that to be true of the physical creation, especially in the context of this lesson about time. Remember the simple definition of time presented at the beginning, the progression of events from past to present to future. A progression of events, to me, sounds a lot like change. So you could say that time is the only constant in life. Or we do have a saying that says, time marches on. Interestingly, the article with this simple definition went on immediately after that to state that basically, if a system is unchanging, it is timeless. That fits well with Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, which says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The God we serve does not change. He is eternal, existing outside of time. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, we read, But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him, without spot or blemish, and at peace. God exists outside of time. To him, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But at a time of his choosing, a day of his choosing, time will end, and we will all be judged. We will be judged based on what we did with the time he gave us. He has told us everything we need to know about time and eternity, that he created time and that it will end, that we each only have a few limited days given by God, and that he expects us to make best use of the time, doing the works he has given us, those good works that he's given us through his word and demonstrated through the perfect example of a life of service set by Jesus. Today, if you're ready to make best use of your time in this life by becoming a Christian, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins so that you can be at peace with God, or if you have any other need, please make it known as together we stand and sing.